Welcome to Soul Searching, the Soul Recruitment Podcast, where we tackle all sorts of great topics in the areas of recruitment, job searching, mindset, technology, marketing, culture, and lots more. It's amazing what you'll pick up. Thanks for joining me. Well, good morning, everybody, and good evening for everybody in the States. It's another fantastic episode of Soul Searching, the Soul Recruitment Podcast, episode 46. And I have the fantastic Danielle Mulvey joining me all the way from the US. How are you doing, Danielle?
I'm doing awesome, Darren.
I am honored for you to have you on the show, talking about all the things you've accomplished and all the people you know. So I'm really, really honored to have you, and I really appreciate you doing this.
Of course. Ready to dive in.
Love it. So a topic that's very close to my heart, the 11 qualities of five-star employees.
Yes.
Now, for everybody who doesn't know Danielle, you should, but I'm going to give you a little bit more of an intro into what she's been up to. So Danielle Mulvey is a former flight attendant turned entrepreneur who has cracked the code on recruiting and retaining what she refers to as five-star employees. Game-changing, dedicated, hardworking people who make big plays and get real consistent results. Danielle has scaled several companies to over $50 million in annual revenue while spending less than 10 hours each week overseeing the operations. Her own team of trusted five-star employees provides her with the freedom to spend the rest of her work week guiding other entrepreneurs through podcasting, workshops, and community curating. She's also the chief curator of the All In Company Community, which strategically advises other entrepreneurs on attracting and hiring five-star employees. She has also authored the book, The Rapid Real-Time Guide to the Five-Star Employee Rating System, and is currently co-collaborating with Wall Street Journal best-selling author Mike Michalowicz on a new book to be released 2023, tentatively titled All In, How to Get Your Employees to Act Like Owners. And as well as that, she's the popular host of the show Profit First Nation, the official podcast for Profit First. So Danielle, my God, where do you find the time?
I do find the time, thankfully, because I have amazing employees. I have literally five-star employees in my organization. Absolutely. Who do every role better than I could do the role.
Amazing, amazing. Well, let's kind of jump in. I mean, this is stuff, I love talking about this stuff. And, you know, as I mentioned just before we got on, you know, people need to know how to show up as a five-star employee, whether you're actually working or whether you're looking for work. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you became so passionate about this area.
Well, you know, I talk about being a former flight attendant. I was a flight attendant right out of college. It was sort of my gap year after I graduated. And what was funny was I flew all the way to Dallas from Los Angeles for the interview. And I walked in, sat down, talked to the interviewer for about 5 minutes. And he was like, wow, this was the shortest interview I've ever had. I mean, if you want this job, it's yours. We can move you along in the process.
Amazing.
Yeah, a little scary though, because I was really not flight attendant material.
Oh,
wow. You know, and I only planned on doing it a year. I mean, they really shouldn't have hired me. Like, they should have spent a little bit more time understanding. So, you know, I find it a bit ironic. And what's funny about being a five-star employee is that you can be, it's finding your sweet spot too of what you're really passionate about, what you're really good at.
Yep.
And I didn't enjoy the job of being a flight attendant. I didn't really, you know, desire to be a flight attendant. I should have never been hired, to be honest, as a flight attendant. There's lots of jobs I can give examples of okay. You know, I could get hired tomorrow as a bookkeeper, but I wouldn't be a five-star bookkeeper because I don't enjoy it. Like, I can get the numbers in the place, but it's, to me, tedious work that is just not my cup of tea. And so I would honestly be like a two-star employee, but, you know, on a variety of other things, being a community curator, I'm a five-star employee.
And I kind of love that story, because even though, you know, they hired you within 5 minutes, it already shows so much about how you showed up. You know, it's all the pre-work that you did as well on yourself, so that when you had those first 5 minutes, that's all that was needed to really show someone that you were a five-star employee. So, I mean, you know, I really understand where you're coming from, but, you know, it's so much about this that is preparation and mindset and, you know, self-awareness.
Right, right. And, you know, I mean, when we work with entrepreneurs on how to recruit, hire, and retain five-star employees, we talk about like really creating sort of what we call a gauntlet, like a really, yeah. I don't want to say tedious, but a multi-step process where you are really getting to know the candidate and the candidate's really getting to know your organization. I mean, you know, what's funny is right now, a lot of people in this quote, great resignation and such are resigning because they feel like they were bait and switched. You know, they interviewed for this company. They thought it was going to be all, you know, roses and loveliness and great. And they take the job and the culture is not what was described in reality. The job is not quite what the job description or job posting said it was. And so it's a big miss. So, you know, I think that it's really important that, you know, if you're really looking for a great company, you want a company who wants to spend time with you and who really wants to get to know you and make sure that this truly is a match made in five-star heaven.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. I think, you know, companies have to make sure that they are showing up as five-star employers as well. Otherwise, yes, exactly. There's a mismatch.
Exactly. Yeah. I could go on and on about that. But what I'd love to do is I would love to talk about, we have identified in our five-star employee rating system the universal qualities of a five-star employee. So we have found that there are 11 universal qualities. So regardless of the role, whether you're hiring a pilot, a flight attendant, a bookkeeper, a kitchen help, et cetera, there are really 11 qualities that make up a five-star employee. There's two of the 11 that are, they're color-coded green on our sheet. And there's two qualities that are relatively easy to change. So if these are things that you don't seem to really have, or the employer kind of thinks you're a bit weak in these areas, that's okay, because these two qualities are very easy to coach and to, you know, improve upon. And one of those is communicating your thoughts. You know, a lot of people tend to just be very passive in the role. And so there's a fine balance between, you know, being aggressive and being too passive. And, you know, the middle is being able to clearly communicate your thoughts, because what's important is, you know, an owner of a business or a manager of a business doesn't know what they don't know. And when you are, you know, in the line, in the trenches, doing this day in, day out, you're seeing every aspect of it. You're seeing the 360-degree view of what the role entails and such, or what obstacles might be starting to show up, or what the pitfalls are, et cetera. And so you being able to clearly communicate your thoughts and what you're seeing to your boss or your manager is really, really important for helping the organization get better, improve, and subsequently grow. So you shouldn't be afraid to speak up if it's right and be able to communicate what you're seeing. And again, it's, you know, that just that fine line between passive and aggressive. It's being right nice in the middle.
Retaining humility, I think, is important. You know, everything you do.
Oh, for sure.
If you retain humility, you can do so much, as long as you're, you know, you don't let your ego take over.
Yes. So communicate your thought with humility, for sure. And then the second one that we code is green, meaning it's relatively easy to change, is having a thirst for knowledge and growth. And again, you know, there are plenty of opportunities for you to get smarter. I mean, podcasts, like this is a perfect example. You know, consuming content, consuming more knowledge, reading the paper, even if it's on your iPhone, or reading books, et cetera, just helps you grow as an individual. And you know, business owners often are big readers. Like they're big consumers of content because they're looking at ways and new ideas to make things better. Yep. And there's no reason why employees shouldn't show up with that same thirst for knowledge and growth, because it will help the organization. And, you know, if you're looking to grow, ask your managers, ask your boss, you know, what, do you have any book recommendations? What should I be looking at? Do you have any podcast recommendations, et cetera? So those are the first two of the 11 qualities, and those are relatively easy to change or and easy to improve upon.
Yeah, and can I just jump in? I think that's so important because a lot of people, a lot of employees in particular, kind of wait for their managers to say, here's a course to do. We'll put you on some training. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. And if they don't get that, they kind of just do nothing. But there is so much you can do on your own, as you mentioned, listening to podcasts, listening to audiobooks, reading, researching, talking to peers, going to meetup groups, going to different events that you can do absolutely on your own. And it's such so low cost, and you can really upskill yourself and make yourself more five-star or more worthy or more marketable.
Exactly.
There's no excuse.
Exactly. And then, so on the opposite end of the spectrum, we have two qualities that are coded red. Nice. And these two qualities are really almost impossible to change. So there sort of can be red flags to certain employers. Okay. And one of them is flexibility. Mm-hmm. And what's funny about flexibility is really understanding what flexible is to the person hiring you or your hiring manager or your boss. Because what's funny is I got an email last week from someone who has a bookkeeping firm, and she was like, oh, you know, I had another new person quit last week because we emailed her and said, hey, you know, what would be a good time for your manager to sync up with you on a weekly basis just for a quick check-in? And the person replied back, I thought this was a flexible position. This doesn't sound flexible to me. I quit. Oh. And it was literally like over email and over this matter. And what was funny was the hiring company had put out a job posting when we kind of dissected, okay, how did this happen and how can we prevent this from happening again? You know, in their job posting, they talked about flexible, work from home, remote, all these things that, you know, people are wanting and such. But clearly, you know, the hiring company's definition of flexibility was different than the new hire's definition of flexibility. Definitely. So it's really important that, you know, and there's two sides to flexibility. There's the employee side and the employer side, but you guys got to be on the same page if you really want it to work and stuff. So, if someone is saying, okay, this job is flexible, it's really important if you're interviewing and it says it's flexible to really understand what they mean by flexible. And, you know, I'm just going to be honest, if it's an employee relationship and not a contractor relationship, like in the States, if it's a true employee relationship, you do have to answer to your boss. You, even if it's a flexible job, you do have to check in.
Of course. I mean, you have to do what you can do.
Right. So it's unfortunate that this person thought flexibility meant she never had to speak to anyone at the home office. is pretty tragic, but should have been averted in the process. But you know, I think that you know, things change, and the employees who last the longest with the company and who grow with the company, scale with the company, all those wonderful things with the company, are the ones who are most flexible, because, you know, a thriving company is going to be evolving over time. I mean, absolutely. You know, look at any business, and things have radically changed, and they seem to be changing at an even faster pace than they were 10, 15
look at the last 3 years
ago.
What's been going on. Absolutely.
Exactly. So, you know, from an employee perspective, two things about flexibility, you know, like just go into something knowing that you'll thrive, you'll be successful if you have a mindset of flexibility, and you're not just so rigid about things. And then also too, from the flexibility standpoint, you know, if you're applying for a job and the posting says, oh, it's a flexible position, really get an understanding of what they mean by flexibility, so that you guys are on the same page.
So true.
Then the other quality that is coded red, you know, it could be a red flag to employers, is actively listens to fellow team members. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this one is really so important. And in fact, I had an interview in March with a candidate, and this person had passed our assessment, scored a 70% or higher, had done our first couple of skills tests and passed those, and was now on to step four, which was the screening interview. Wow. And I was 3 minutes into the screening interview with a candidate, and they were just talking, but not answering my questions. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, this is not... red flag alert. And so I was, you know, kind of dialed back my questioning, made them even more basic to just like, you know, is she nervous? You know, can she answer the question? But after 5 minutes, it was clear that she was not a good active listener. Mm-hmm. So at that point I said, you know what, I'm sorry. I just don't think that this is going to be a good fit for us. Thank you so much for your time and your application. Wish you the best. Goodbye. Wow. So, you know, it's really important that that you listen. You listen, 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 because all of us are smarter than one of us. And absolutely, when we listen to each other, we can go farther, faster, and produce bigger results.
Yeah. And being a team player, pretty much, that's what that is. It's being a team player. You know, you're not there on your own, on your own island doing your own thing. You know, you have to work exactly with everybody else. And it's about being synergistic.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, love it.
And then in between we have seven more qualities, and these ones are coded gray, so they're kind of like the middle ground. They can be coached and improved upon, you know, but it's really the task of, I'd say, the hiring manager, if the person, you know, isn't really like five star in any of these other seven qualities, to get them up to speed. So I can run through those.
Yeah, that'd be amazing if you could. I'd love to hear them.
So the other ones are being supportive. So, you know, providing encouragement to your fellow team members, like being the cheerleader and being sympathetic and reassuring. But again, everything is like a fine line. Like, you just want to be right in the middle about things. You don't want to be, you know, too extreme one way or the other way. Then the next one that's in that gray area is being collaborative. So, you know, this is being cooperative, working together, synergistic, you know, such important aspects, especially in a team environment. The third one is being proactive. So, I mean, hiring managers love people who are proactive and not reactive. Definitely. You know, they're looking ahead. They're energetic, they're enterprising, they're taking charge. They're not just sitting around waiting, or they're not sitting around collecting a paycheck.
Yeah.
They're taking action.
And if I can just jump in, managers love when, you know, if there's an issue, don't just go to your manager with a question, go to them with a potential solution or a few potential solutions. And then at least shows them how you started to think about the situation, how you think in general, and then he or she can steer in the right direction. But that's kind of another way to exhibit proactivity when working with a manager.
Oh, exactly. Do not just show up with a problem, because they already have 99 problems. They don't need another one.
That's right.
And then another one is completing tasks. So, you know, and I tell my kids this all the time. You know, it doesn't matter what you say, it matters what you do. So, you know, it's really important that what you're doing in your role is producing tangible results. You're completing tasks. You have something to show for your talk. You've got actions that have produced results.
Definitely. Love it.
And then another one is achieves goals. And, you know, that again is so important. Like, it's not about collecting a paycheck. It's about, you know, setting the bar and making sure that you're hitting that bar or exceeding that bar. If you're in the right role, you know, it's not about like blowing it out, but it's about just, it's hitting it and hitting it consistently and doing honestly what you were hired to do. And then we have producing quantifiable results, which is similar to achieving goals, but these are like very metrics oriented. Nice. So it's kind of like gamifying your job.
Yeah.
And creating a score for yourself. Yeah. And making sure that you're hitting, you know,
it's almost like a day. Establishing KPIs for yourself in a way.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Example. KPIs for yourself. And then the final one in that gray area is being open to feedback, and being, you know, able to listen and to grow from that. You know, take coaching, because the best kind of coaching is coaching that that teaches you something that you learn from, and you know, we grow from our mistakes, to be honest. And so being open to feedback, even if it's not what you expected, will just, you know, that's coming from people honestly who care about you, and who see the potential and want to help you get past where you are, and grow.
I love that. And you know, really good point. Like, you don't always even have to ask feedback when you're not sure. Even if you think things are going really well and you're doing a great job, still ask for feedback, because you just never know what you're going to find out.
Yeah. You know, and ideally, I mean, we're trying to train business owners on how to be five-star employers and you know, it about going all in on their employees. And one of the things is, you know, obviously doing those one-on-one check-ins with your employees, not just waiting for an annual review. That's too little, too late. Yeah. But if you're not getting that, you know, I mean, just make a habit of checking in. It will be sincerely appreciated by your manager.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't stress that enough. I think it's so powerful. Feedback is one of the most powerful tools we have. And if there's no platform or framework in place to get it, just, you know, drive it yourself. Right. Ask your manager for a quick coffee. Ask your manager for a quick 10 minutes. How am I doing? Anything I can do better? And you'd be amazed what you can learn. You know, we all can. Absolutely.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So I love that. You've got your green, you got your red, and you got your gray.
Yes.
So how did these come about though? How did you develop these over time?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. So I've been an entrepreneur since the ripe old age of 25, which if you do the math, that's been about 25 years.
Wow.
When I first started hiring people, my hiring strategy as a 25-year-old was to hire people younger than me.
Yes. And what were you doing?
Because they wouldn't know if I was screwing up. I was their first real life experience.
And what were you doing back then? What was the business?
Sure. It was the Maverick Group, and it was an advertising and marketing agency in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah.
Love it.
And you know, I was lucky with my first few hires. In fact, probably my fourth hire or so was between two lovely candidates. They both went to my alma mater. Uh-huh. And then my final decision was based off the one who was in my sorority house, even though we weren't in the sorority at the same time. Okay. So it was lucky. And then I made a subsequent hire a couple hires later using the same kind of, you know, brilliant philosophy. it was a brother of someone I went to college with, and he was the fraternity brother of one of my current employees. So I'm like, come on board, join.
Right. And so he kept it in the family initially.
Yes. But he proved to be a total toxic nightmare. Right. Wow. That just, when I woke up on a Monday morning, I'm like, can I call in sick to my own company? Like, did not want to go in. I dreaded, and I used to love going to work. Okay, I love going to work now, but this person just was such a drain on everyone, and combative. And so, you know, over the years, I've really been able to look at and interview other entrepreneurs and business owners. And so that's how we have cultivated the list of the 11 qualities, over all of these years and based off of experience, et cetera. And, you know, what was the sticking point? Like, what, you know, why did this person not work out? It was really kind of how this list came to be was, you know, there was commonality in the things of sort of nightmare employees or people who just, you know, didn't get the job done as needed versus the people that were, you know, what we now term five-star employees in organizations. You know, oh, they were so flexible. This person, they were so inflexible. So it was just kind of this back and forth between, you know, what made for a great employee and honestly, what made for a nightmare employee or a less than stellar employee.
And kind of, that's a really great point, because a lot of this comes with experience as well. Like when you're hiring your first person, you have no benchmark, you have no, you know, no idea as to, you know, how things are tracking. But after you've hired a few, you can kind of realize, okay, I want another one like him or her. What did they do? What kind of traits did they display? How can I find that again?
Yes, it is. It is like an iterative process and such. But what's, also tragic too is that they're really, most people are hiring kind of like, oh, I've got an interview in 5 minutes. Let me Google some questions. Like, I don't know what to ask and such. And so we found Mike and I in collaborating on his next book, All In. We found that that's kind of like the next biggest problem after profitability and getting their business to run like clockwork is how to recruit, hire, and retain 5-star employees so that you can scale your business. Because what we found too was that businesses with 15 or more employees, $1 million or more in real revenue, that's when they really started to struggle with profitability because their payroll was growing, which was their biggest expense. But they weren't getting that same return on those employees. And it was because, just they weren't having the right level of employee. And sometimes, honestly, it was, some of the people that started with them at the very beginning kind of became resentful, of the new people that came on board with more experience in the field or the industry, et cetera.
Hi guys, just a quick message. I'm always on the lookout for engineers in the managed services space across Australia. Support engineers, systems engineers, network engineers, and solution consultants. I only work with the best companies that are going places, really value their staff, have great techs, and offer stacks of training and other benefits, up to $1,000 for successful referrals. Who do you know? Feel free to give me a buzz, 0414-659-800. But right now, back to the conversation.
And they stopped being 5-star employees when the company got to $1 million or more. So
Yeah, so true.
what we've done is we've kind of put this all together in the 5-star employee rating system as a way for people to use it as a way to objectively assess existing talent, existing employees, and also use it to assess candidates and potential new hires.
Awesome. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about that in particular. How do you go about assessing for these things? Or in the book, do you talk about, some of the methods to actually assess these traits?
Yeah, so believe it or not, there's 5 stars in the 5-star employee rating system. And again, it goes both ways. Like, it's a match made in heaven when the stars literally align with
Yeah, I
the
love it.
employer and the employee. So the first thing, when you're looking for a job or an organization to join, is you want to make sure that you guys share the same core values. That is kind of like the foundation of a make or break relationship. And when you think about like the simplicity of the core values matching, I mean, think about romantic relationships you've had, friend relationships you have, and the ones that no longer exist are likely because the breakup came because it just came to this point of we just didn't align in our core values, and that became the breaking point. So the same applies in business, is that your core values should align with the core values of the organization. Then the second star is the 11 qualities, which we went over. The third star
And
is
actually, how do you assess those 11 qualities? Just in general, behavioral style questioning or just general conversation?
Both. So we have a list of questions. We have some universal questions associated with those, and then we work with business owners on getting more specific, especially about what they're looking for when it comes to being collaborative in the organization. You know,
Nice.
what kind of behaviors are they looking for the person to demonstrate, and such? Because that's going to vary from organization to
Sure,
organization.
sure.
And then, so the third star is aligning on the aptitudes and skills needed for the role. And so, again, I could get hired as a bookkeeper tomorrow, but if they would have given me a bookkeeping test before they hired me, they probably wouldn't hire me. Does that make sense? So, I mean, so oftentimes people think they can fake it till they make it. They think, oh, I'll just get in and then I'll find something else that I really like to do better. And that's what'll happen. But, I mean, if you're applying for a bookkeeping position, make sure that you're applying for a position where you can demonstrate the skills, and the aptitudes to do the job that you are applying for.
Love it. Yep. So true.
And then the fourth star is making sure that you're producing a return on payroll so that you are, you know, not just collecting a paycheck. You're like, if you're making $50,000, that you are producing $150,000 in revenue in some capacity for the company. You know, that means you're going to be a keeper if you're producing a return on your payroll. And then the final star is we require the people that we work with, the business owners that we work with, to line out 3 to 5 key responsibilities for each role and then have success metrics associated with that. So again, that kind of gamifying the job.
Okay. So you kind of co-collaborating, building those KPIs for each other.
Exactly. And so when we hire people, we'll have, you know, 2 or 3 of the key responsibilities laid out and the KPIs, the success metrics for those, but then we'll collaborate with them in the process of the other responsibility and then what success is going to look like and what the KPIs are going to look like for them in that position. So it is collaborative.
Love it. Love it. And where does psychometric testing fit into this? Do you do a lot of psychometric testing?
So that's actually the first step. So as part of our application process, we recommend that upon application and upon someone answering the basic questions required for the role, that that they take an assessment right out of the gate. And so so we use that as sort of a benchmark. Our assessment has benchmarks depending upon the role. So it varies from role to role. Sure. What the benchmark is, but we're looking for the candidate scoring 70% or higher. So we set the bar pretty high against the benchmark. But the benchmark, again, for a bookkeeper is different than the benchmark for a flight attendant.
Definitely. And there'll be certain different traits that you'll be looking for as well.
Exactly.
Different traits, different behaviors. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes. And do you always use the same type of psychometric test, or you entertain a few different types, or...
So that's a great question. We use Prevue, Prevue, as our baseline testing. And so then depending upon the role, depending upon circumstances, we do add in other tests. We've used DISC as a tiebreaker. Interestingly, when we used DISC as a tiebreaker, we were hiring for 2 claims examiners and we had 3 finalists. They all scored the same on DISC. And so it's just kind of funny how, like, you know, it kind of proves that, you know, this is really objectively kind of getting you, narrowing you to your ideal candidates using the 5-star methodology. We have some clients who also use the Culture Index when they get closer to the hiring process.
And you mentioned earlier, I mean, when it sounded like, you know, the psychometric part of the process is at the beginning, but you mentioned later on, if you get to a point where 2 or 3 people are scoring exactly the same, what do you do then?
Yeah, so we add in other challenges, we add in just some other factors, and we just peel back more layers, to be honest. We get to that point, it doesn't happen too often, but it has happened, and it's a bit ironic that you know we try to create these tiebreakers and they're still tying.
Amazing, but it's really interesting that you know you found a way to put metrics around it and put a science around hiring, and a lot of the results or the scenarios have kind of proved to you that you're on the right track.
Yeah. So when you have a process and you have a system, and you know you've got consistency, and that's I think what a lot of businesses are lacking in their hiring process is consistency.
So true, and that's a really good point, especially in this market at the moment. You know, everybody is screaming for talent around the world. And people tend to do things quickly because they have to, they need to, you know, so do your due diligence, do the best you can, I suppose. You might not be able to go through a whole 2-week process, but do the best you can to, you know, conduct a fast, efficient, but quality process. Otherwise, you're only shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, some tricks that we employ when we're hiring people you know, I love to hire people who are already working too. So, you know, I'm responsive at night. I do screening interviews on the weekend, early morning, you know, working around people's schedules and such. So, you know, when you're limited to just like traditional business hours, it makes it difficult for the candidate as well. So
absolutely. And I'm the same. Like I'll recruit after hours, weekends a lot because it's the better time to get the people.
That's when the people are on their computer looking for jobs.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's when they can have some time out, you know, from their work. Sometimes people are too busy during the day to even answer their phone. I've got to send a text. You know, the world is getting busier and busier. So you have to make time out of normal office hours to do all this work.
For sure.
Yeah. And so, as you mentioned earlier as well, something that really stuck with me is that, you know, as companies grow and mature, culture becomes more and more important. You know, you know, building the right culture, putting in possibly people in culture development specialists, putting together a really good understanding of what your culture is going to be. All that's so important to make sure you retain all these great people. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and again, it's not saying it, it's doing it. I've talked to lots of people who, you know, have left jobs that they had taken recently because they felt it was a bait and switch. They had, you know, were told, oh, our culture's wonderful, oh, da, da, da. And then they start and a month later, they're like, well, where is this? Where, like someone said that it was going to be, you know, cupcakes and roses, and it's not. So, you know, again, what does it matter? Are you doing it? Or are you saying it? So, you know, the culture has to be tangible. It has to, you know, be permeated throughout the organization, and it has to happen every day in the organization.
Absolutely. And it has to come from the top. You know, it has to be, you know, driven from the leadership, and it has to be part of the everyday fiber of the company and of the organization.
Exactly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Love it. Awesome. Well, I mean, I really appreciate that. I think that's fascinating. And I'm sure that the book is going to really go into more detail into all those things. But I want to take this a little bit more into the recruitment space as well.
Sure.
And talk a bit about how do you best find or attract these people? You know,
I mean, okay.
it's great to know what they look like when you find them, but how do you find them in the first place?
So, you know, I mean, probably my favorite place of finding people is in the wild. So, I put them on my virtual bench. And my virtual bench is a bench in my head where, you know, I just, when I experience great customer service, when I experience like outstanding interaction with someone, I put them on my virtual bench. And I'd say that, you know, in our businesses that are located like local to where we live, about 40 to 60% of our employees in those businesses were on our virtual bench. And then the rest of them have come from, you know, we cast as wide of a net as possible.
Possibly referrals as well, because good people know other good people.
So referrals, we've put giant banners outside of our offices that just, you know, really stand out. They look different. And in fact, I have someone who is in the All-In company, and she was our HR consultant starting back in 2013. Mm-hmm. So she was on my virtual bench for like 9 years. And I just knew that like I wanted her to be part of my team. I didn't have an organization that needed a full-time, you know, HR person at the time. But now with All In, we do have that need.
She was always in the back of your mind, or you might have just flagged her in a particular, you know, folder or system, and you just always kept an eye on, you know, for the future.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a great way, because you're getting known talent. So you've experienced them, you've seen them, you've watched them in action. You still take them through the process. You still take them through your testing. They still need to pass everything. So they don't, just because you've known them or you've worked with them or you've had experience with them, they don't bypass your process.
Yep.
But everyone wants to feel wanted. So when you can actively recruit someone, you know, it makes them feel like special and they take notice. So that's great. You know, everyone wants to feel wanted. So if you can find a candidate out in the wild and show that you want them. But again, my advice is that neither candidate or employer skip the process. You know, you really need to do that dating process of the interviews and getting to know each other and just, you know, ensuring that it's a great fit.
Yeah. And have you used recruiters much in your, you know, finding of your talent over the years? Just out of
interest. We have actually, when we, you know, you got to be flexible. You got to be open to everything. And it's not one thing that works. It's the sum of all things. And so actually, you know, it was my experience was really kind of, you know, finding people locally and such. And when we opened up an office in Indiana, that's when we started using a local recruiter there to help us with candidates when I had to kind of go outside the box of my comfort and such because I wasn't there and I wasn't present in another state 2,000 miles away. So recruiters are a great option too, because again, you know, it's just helping you cast a wider net. It's bringing you to the forefront of possibly additional great candidates, because it's a numbers game. Yes. You know, you want to get as many applicants as possible to make sure that you are really finding that diamond in the stack of coal, that five-star employee.
Yep, so true. And I love when you said it's a sum of, you know, all things. It really is. I mean, even in the recruitment process alone, as a segment of that, we do so many different things and we still don't know where our ideal candidate's going to come from, but they come. It's because we're doing so many different things. And so for an employer, they've got to do this, have the same philosophy, spread, you know, your activity as best you can to find the people that you need.
Absolutely. So yes. You don't want to fish with a little net. You want to cast a big net.
Love it. And so, Danielle, tell us a bit more about the All In Company. I want to hear a bit more about that and give the listeners a bit of more insight into exactly what that is, what you do, and how you work.
So right now we're previewing content for the book. And we're teaching business owners how to use the five-star employee rating system to assess their existing talent and then use it to recruit and hire and retain more five-star employees for their organization. Most people have about a 25% success rate in hiring five-star employees. So about one out of four of your hires ends up being, you know, a five-star employee. But when you use an objective system like the five-star rating system, you can actually get to a 90% success rate in recruiting, hiring, and retaining five-star employees. But it's really like, that's why we call it All In, because, you know, just like you talked about culture and how it comes from the top down, as the employer, you have to go all in on your hiring. Like, you know, I don't think I've worked myself out of a job just because it only takes me 10 hours a week to oversee the operations of my business. I've worked myself into the best job because that gives me the freedom and the flexibility to be focused on supporting my employees, to be making sure our culture is like top notch, and to be checking in with them. And because oftentimes, you know, owners and managers, they kind of get stuck doing the job and then they're really not of any use or support to their employees. So, you know, I have people say, oh, I worked myself out of the job. And I'm like, no, I worked myself into the best job because
I can focus.
I can focus on going all in on my employees because I'm not having to do the, I keep going back to bookkeeping.
You like bookkeeping, don't you?
I am not a fan, but it's so important. Ironic, isn't that I'm the host of Profit First Nation, but I'm not a bookkeeper. It's because owners have to own their financials, but I digress. So in the all-in company, we are teaching and guiding entrepreneurs how to go all in on their recruitment and hiring process, how to really customize and define what they're looking for so they're attracting the five-star employees, and to be honest, repelling the one, two, and three-star employees, because it's a waste of time for both parties if it's, you know, they're not going to want to step up to the plate and knock it out of the park.
I love it. And what advice would you give to candidates and employees or people, individuals that want to make sure they are five-star or they want to build, you know, build themselves up to become five-star?
So, you know, I think the simplest thing for an employee or a candidate to do is to proactively follow up. So, you know, kind of like, And you know, you'll have the list in the show notes of the 11 qualities, but just, you know, make sure that you're doing something to demonstrate the 11 qualities through your interviewing process, through your follow-up. You know, I'm always impressed with the candidates. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's like squirrel and something else happens over here and such. And even I sometimes can, you know, kind of like drop a ball on a candidate. And so the candidates, I don't necessarily do it intentionally, but it can happen. The candidates that follow up and that show their hunger and that show a desire to really want to be part of our organization and team, right, are great. I would also suggest if the employer is not offering a shadow day, I would ask, hey, is there any way I could come in and shadow for like 4 hours? Try to have lunch with the team, you know, build some rapport with other people in the organization, not just the hiring manager. So again, you can, like, you can test it out and see if it is going to be a good and right fit for you. We do shadow days, whether it's a remote employee, it's a remote shadow day, or if it's an in-office position, we do shadow days. And, you know, to be honest, we have lost candidates during shadow day. Like at the end of shadow day, they're like, you know what? I thought I wanted to get into construction, but I you know what? I think I'm going to stay in property management. And you know, it's like, awesome, great, no problem. I pay people for my shadow day, and that is the best investment that I can get, is someone who tries it out for 4, 5, 6 hours. I pay them a modest amount, and then at the end they say, you know what, this isn't for me, because I just saved a ton of money.
Yeah, rather than trying it out for 4 or 5 months.
Exactly.
That's better.
Exactly. So if it's not offered, ask for it. And I'm sure that they will, if you know, be delighted and think, wow, what a brilliant idea. And that's great. Yeah, let's test and drive this out for both of us. So that would be my recommendation for both employees and employers, but especially for employees if the employer isn't offering it.
Yeah. So the employee can show themselves off and show their traits as a 5-star employee. And the employer can also see how they fit into the culture, how they're fitting in with everybody, how they demonstrate those traits. And it's a win-win.
Yeah. And we lost an employee in a shadow day when she realized that, you know, we have one office that's kind of a small office. And so they take lunch together every day and they sit together and they eat lunch and they bring their lunch. And this person was like, I like to eat by myself and I don't want to talk to anyone during lunch. And it was like, that's not going to work here. Like that doesn't fit with our culture. So that was a deal breaker. But you know, again, something that you kind of have to test out. Most people, I think, you know, what matters, saying it or doing it. And so a lot of people say something, but when they're actually forced to do it, that's when you really know, is it real or is it not? You know, this person probably would have said, oh yeah, I'm good with lunch, or you know, now we're a little bit more upfront about it, because when we realize, wow, we did have someone who doesn't want to eat lunch with anyone, we make sure we ask that upfront in that office.
That's a really good point. I think that's a really good point. And you mentioned, obviously, you've got the green, you've got the red. You can't really do much with those. But the grays in between, all those gray traits, it's really bit of a balancing act, and I suppose it depends on the role itself as to which ones you can compromise on and which ones you can't. Yeah,
exactly. And you know what I say to employers and employees is that you're not going to be a 5 in every one of the 5 stars, but you need to be like consistent. You need to be a 3 or a 4, and maybe a couple of them you're 5s, because you know, when we work with employers and business owners, you know, they're like, oh, I want a 5 in every category. And I'm like, really?
Score yourself. Exist.
Are you a 5 in every category? And then they're like, no. And I was like, then you're never going to find this sparkly rainbow unicorn who you think is a 5 in all categories.
Yeah,
the other thing that I would warn against, especially if you're looking at working with a smaller business or a company, is the role shouldn't involve too many disparate responsibilities. So I often find like startup companies, you know, businesses that are moving from solopreneur to the first couple of employees, you know, they want someone who's going to be the executive assistant or the admin who is amazing at social media, who can get them to 0 inbox every day, and who can do client onboarding.
Yeah, I mean, there's totally different skills, all different skills.
No one is going to be fantastic at all 3 of those skills. So you really want to focus on the sweet spot. So we all have sweet spots. We all have passion. We all have gifts and talent for 1 or 2 things, but definitely 1 thing. And so you really want to be in that zone. So look for positions that aren't asking too much of you, and because those are setting unrealistic expectations, and no one's going to be happy in the end, because you're not going to be able to knock it out of the park on 3 disparate responsibilities that require different skill sets. So you know, look for positions that are really in your sweet spot and that don't really, you want to be challenged, you know, and you want to have to be pushed a little bit outside of your comfort zone, but you don't want to have to wear three different hats like that.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really, really good point. I mean, you can't be good at everything, and you don't have the time to develop yourself in every single facet while you're working. So, you know, find something that you're naturally gifted towards and that you enjoy, and you'll probably be good at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like bookkeeping for you.
Like
awesome. So Danielle, in terms of the All-In Company and the podcast, Profits First Nation, are they both joint ventures with Mike and yourself?
They are. They are. So Profit First Nation is the official podcast for Profit First, Mike's probably best-selling book.
Yep.
And
book
we kind of
well.
Have
read that.
Great. We have a rhythm to the podcast. So episodes that end in zero, we're answering frequently asked questions or questions that come into the podcast. Episodes ending in 4 and 9, we're talking about the topic of going all in on your business.
Nice.
Recruiting, hiring, and retaining 5-star employees. Episodes ending in 5. Again, we're kind of answering questions and going into advanced profit-first strategies. And on episodes ending in 8, Mike Michalowicz joins us. And we usually dive into his inbox and talk about what's going on in his world.
Oh, sensational. And if you don't mind me asking, how did you guys start collaborating?
So we go back a ways, and we kind of just grew up in the same, he's older than me. I just want that record to reflect. So he's like my older brother to a certain degree. But we were both part of MIT's Birthing of Giants. We were in different cohorts. We were in YEO when it was YEO and Y stood for young.
Wow.
So we were running in the same circles from our early 20s since we both started our businesses when we were relatively young at the time and such. And so we've just been great collaborators, great partners, and share just, you know, we share the same core values.
Amazing. Beautiful. I love it. Well, Danielle, I mean, that's been so enlightening, so insightful. You know, hopefully we've given the audience a lot of things to think about. And I love, you know, the way that you've structured those 11 qualities of 5-star employees and how you've, you know, divided them into red, green, and gray. And I think that's, you know, you can't, as you said, you can't be a 5-star at everything, but definitely something to think about and definitely something for employers and employees to really recognize, think about, reflect on, to make sure that they're both showing up comparatively as 5-star, because that's how it's got to be these days.
Yep.
But how do we find you if we want to work with you guys and find out more about the company, the podcast, the books? Tell us more about how we find you.
Yeah. Well, check out Profit First Nation. It's on all the podcast catchers, or go to profitfirstnation.com. And then we also have 5staremployees.com. And nice. Then I would love to connect with you and LinkedIn on LinkedIn. And it's Danielle Mulvey, MULVs and Victor EY on LinkedIn.
Ah, sensational. Well, I'll make sure I put all those links in the show notes for everybody. So please check those out. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic book. The podcast is great. I listen to it myself. Really, really looking forward to getting more and more information in 2023. But Danielle, you know, really appreciate you coming on the show. I wish you guys the best of luck. I think it's a fantastic thing that you're doing. And, you know, I love that it's based on so much of your own experience as well. So it's not just things that you're pulling out of the air.
Yeah, no.
You know, there's been a lot of science involved in this.
Yes, but, yes. Well, thanks so much, Darren. And cheers to going all in.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Check out all Danielle's handles in the show notes, and we'll see you very, very soon for another episode of Soul Searching, the Soul Recruitment Podcast. Bye for now. Thanks again for joining me for another episode of Soul Searching, the Soul Recruitment Podcast. If you'd like to join me as a guest on the show, I would be delighted to collaborate. Feel free to buzz me on 0414 659 800 or email me on darren@soulrecruitment.com.au. I'm always on the lookout for great guests who can share their stories and expertise with my community. But for now though, have a fantastic day, and I'll see you next time.